This is the Day Zero Update for June 18th, 2017. I'm Filippo DeNovo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'd like to welcome you to the E3 Overspill edition of the Day Zero Update. We're getting caught up on stuff that got shoved aside because of E3 and, of course, stuff that has happened since. So we got quite a bit to talk about there. But, before we get to that, we should probably catch up on, besides E3, what else we've been up to. And for me, it's been Tekken 7, a lot of that. I've been venturing online and discovering that people really don't know how to handle a rushdown Esca.
I think a lot of them know what to do, they're just not fast enough to do it.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. Of course, this has led to the problem of me not being able to practice my defense, so yeah, that's not gone well. But for the most part, I'm having a good time over there, and it's a lot of fun. The matchmaking has improved dramatically since the 102 patch, so yeah.
I did run into a few problems the other night, but nothing too severe.
Yeah, well, it was, I basically went from getting a successful match every one in 10 or 12 tries to, maybe having issues every two or three at some point.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's just, it works. So,
yeah.
And this only really applies to the stuff like rank matches and player matches where you're just in the training mode waiting for things. And, of course, the stuff that's the listings. Yeah. Because those tend to just go away pretty quickly.
Did you integrate that 50-50 I showed you?
Yeah, I'm trying to still. So I haven't had a chance to really use it.
It's a pretty mean vortex.
Yeah. So there's that. Tournaments actually work pretty well in that game. So, might want
to. Still need to try those.
Yeah, they're fun. Maybe set one up at some point and do that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So Tekken 7 is always a lot of fun. I'm still waiting to see what the DLC is going to be, if that's going to start coming out soon, seeing as I, paid for it inadvertently. So, yeah. So there's that, and I started playing Gwent, and this is not going to go well for me.
No. Mm. You, it was nice knowing you.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine, Magic the Gathering only with a lot more to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Gwent. Faction cards, cards that can only be played on specific lines, because there's, three lines, as you know, the melee line, range line, siege line. Weather effects, all kinds of stuff that I need to wrap my head around. That I shouldn't have downloaded that, and now I'm screwed. So, thanks. But that's been me. How about you, Pat?
I, too, have been on quite a bit of Tekken 7. I'm pushing my King bread and butter combos up around 60, 65 damage. So, those are the types of combos that can end rounds under the right circumstances. Hmm. So that's been pretty fun, but I haven't had the time to just dip into stuff like tournament mode like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. I'll probably do some of that today and more than likely on stream. Mm-hmm. Wipeout Omega Collection still treating me really well. My God, that game is fun. And the thing is, two-thirds of it is the same stuff that I played on the PS3, but having 2048 on a console makes a world of difference.
Yeah.
And it's really good to see this get a proper release because HD and HD Fury did not get a physical release here in North America, and that was I was not happy about that at the time. But seeing it finally get one on the PS4 was fantastic, and I can only imagine what this looks like on the Pro with 4K 60 frames. That's got to be absolutely eye bleeding.
In the good way.
Yeah. And then off the radar a little bit, Xbox One backward compatibility has quietly been one of the really strong suits of that console. And because of it, some friends and I have recently rediscovered Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown. And so I'm getting back into playing that and getting the rust off of my Go. And that's been quite a bit of fun. I've been playing on a Hori Fight Pad, and I'm actually surprised how much of my game translates to it. I just need to get a lot more confident sidestepping on a gamepad, and there are a couple of inputs that I have a hard time with, but I'm sure they'll come with time. Specifically, 4-3-P is kind of brutal.
But nobody uses backwards compatibility, so that's a moot point. Screw you, Jim Ryan.
Yep. But that's been my week. Oh, Stormblood. Stormblood. Oh, my God, Stormblood. I am still maybe 20% of the way into that game, and the new regions are huge. I can kind of see why they decided to ditch the PS3 for this one. Just these are, unless my mind's playing tricks on me, these are by far the largest maps I've seen in Final Fantasy 14 yet. And the fact that they added two whole countries to it instead of just one from Heaven's Ward. They added a lot of content with this one.
Yes, you're probably going to be playing there for a good while before you get
to it's going to be part of my regular practice. And I did start Samurai, so that's also a thing. So in addition to leveling Dragoon to 70, I've got to take Samurai from 50. So at least they didn't make you start from 1. That would have been evil.
I suppose you could if you wanted to.
But
you don't have to.
Well, no, it's Samurai, when you unlock it, starts at level 50. That's just the way it is. The only way to artificially level down is to either play Palace of the Dead, which is a deep dungeon that has its own leveling system, or to go back to older dungeons and, you know, the ones that automatically balance your character and equipment levels for the content that's in there. But other than that, I mean, you're a level 50 samurai from the start. Same with Red Mage. And that's not really a complaint. I think everyone who's coming in from A Realm Reborn and Heaven's Ward has already played the shit out of that older content. And so another grind through it would just be that. It was a pretty good decision by Yoshida, I felt.
I was watching you the other night playing it. It was, I gotta admit, that game is really good looking.
And apparently it's got some pro features, so when I do inevitably end up getting a PS4 Pro, it'll basically turn it into the PC version.
The PS4 Pro is starting to look like a little bit of a slow burn, but it seems like it's starting to get some steam now. There's a lot of developers that are looking to support it, because why the heck not? It's there.
Well, I mean, 3 out of the 4 games that I'm currently playing have enhanced features for it. And the fourth game is coming to it next year, probably with enhanced features, so.
Cool stuff.
That's relevant to stuff I play. That's how you win my money, Sony.
So how about you, Brandon?
Well, primarily it's been Guilty Gear, Exit Revelator 2. Still hacking away at that. I've pretty much said all I can say about it.
It's still great.
Just a great game. Also, finally got a copy of Tales of Berseria to play. It's a, for those of you who don't know, Tales of Berseria is basically a prequel to Tales of Zestiria, which was the last Tails game, and is way, way darker in tone, which I did not think was possible. But they pulled it off somehow. But, you know, I love the Tails series anyway, and I'm just waiting for that point when the shoe drops.
Yeah, I was about to ask if they were still doing that, but yeah, you haven't gotten there yet. So.
No. It takes a little while. Usually it's some way midway through the game, and then all of a sudden you realize that, you know.
Things are not as they seem.
Yeah. Suddenly you realize that all those monsters you've been killing are actually orphans. Or something like that.
Yeah.
That's basically been my primary gaming. Oh, and I also, on GameStop, I ordered a used copy of Sakura Wars, along my love for Nintendo Wii. So,
I was about to ask which version you got.
Yeah, people, I asked people about it, should I get the PS2 version or the Wii, and they said Wii. Like, 100% said get the Wii version.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And so, you know, I can just put it into my Wii U, and everything will be hunky-dory.
Yeah, because backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean, just compatibility, because a Wii U is basically just...
Yeah, two Wiis glued together.
Yeah.
As Lee likes to put it.
Yeah. And, of course, as we all know, PS4 doesn't play anything but PS4 games.
Well, unless you buy the PS2 games. Or you stream from PS Now.
Anyway, yeah, that's what I've been up to. What about you, Chris?
Well, so I took advantage of some of the recent sales on PSN. Let's see, I got Skylight Free Range and its sequel, and made a video of at least my first 30 minutes or so of Skylight Free Range. And that is a hell of a thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I gave you guys a link to that. Yeah. And the best part is when you start walking... their legs just go, they just start stretching. it's really crazy. Supposedly it's got a lot of story choices and all that. I don't know if I've seen any of that yet. The camera is bad.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get a good camera to view where you're going or anything. Yeah, it's a really weird game, but I definitely want to play more of it. I think I'm currently trying to get to a subway. Like an actual subway, not a restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a very weird game. The character creator is interesting. I ended up in the video just moving all of the meters and such to the right.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which created a black eye with purple... like lavender's colored hair, and there's an actual neck beard option, which just has like a patch of hair just growing out of his neck.
that's not like, how neck beards work.
No. His hair just goes nuts, and he's got like gloves on his hands and like all black clothing.
Yeah.
That's certainly a game.
Yeah, it's something, at least.
I haven't gotten into any sort of combat or whatever RPG part of this game there's supposed to be. But yeah, I'm going to be making more videos of that. Maybe tonight, I guess. As for good games, I bought Watch Dogs 2, since that was $25 on sale. And that game is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So one of the things that was interesting is that they have a lot of online functionality in it, a lot of like ambient co-op and multiplayer stuff that I turned off most of it, but still it's creeped into the game. I found this feature or this side mission thing called Driver San Francisco. I was like, what the hell is this? I know the game Driver San Francisco. I couldn't figure it necessarily out, but I went to one of the spots, clicked on it, and some other player just drives up. I'm like, what the hell is this? And being an introvert, that just freaked me out. It's like,
yeah,
I thought I was playing solo. What the hell are you doing here? I ran away. He came driving up to me, and I just quit out of the game because I was like, so freaked out. Like, what the fuck is this person doing here? What the hell did I do?
I do like when developers make references to themselves, though. That's one thing I forgot to mention in Stormblood. So far, I've gotten an achievement called Bushido Blade.
Hmm.
And done a mission called Agni's Philosophy.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
It just reminded me.
Yeah, I did a cool little chain where I talked to some DedSec adjacent person who came up with some sort of code that lets you hack into the CTOS-enabled ATMs. And so I would go to various ones all around the cities and watch somebody come in, and you can see like their information, like this person's in some sort of asshole. Like, it doesn't say asshole, but it's some negative description. And so there's like two keypads on it, and one is for good stuff, one's for bad stuff. And before I realized that that's what was going on, I ended up giving a guy $1,000. He's like, well, I'm not going to give this to my use this for child support. Thanks. But after that, I was sticking to that. The bad side eventually gets to a point where it's like fraud is detected and you can call the cops, essentially, things like that. There's another guy that I deleted his whole account, and he was not really happy about that. Which was fun to see. I'm in the middle of this chain right now where basically it's a movie called Cyber Driver that the trailer comes out, and it's about, let's say if you gave like an action movie star Kit, and then he's escorting hackers to something, and it's really shitty hackers, so obviously they take offense and they want to teach them a lesson, that sort of stuff. I'm sort of in the middle of that, but I just went through the area to sort of get the script, and I forget what else it was, but yeah, now I have the jumper, which is the little the vehicle robot that you can drive around, and the quadcopter. I just got the quadcopter, so that's gonna make it a lot easier because there are a lot of like little areas where there are collectibles or people monitoring stuff, like gang members or cops or security or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not a very vertical game. It's not really easy to get up on top of buildings. You have to find things like either conveniently placed scissor lifts or just find stairs and such.
Yeah.
But so far, I've been trying to be non-violent, using the stun gun that you get, as well as I got a paintball rifle. But that got destroyed when I tried to pull out a gun to start taking out these security guys, and it pulled out a real pistol.
Whoops.
Instead of my stun gun. So I shot the first guy in the head, and so, he went down. That was an actual bullet. Whoops. But I've been having fun just setting off a lot of the environmental stuff. Usually it's like electrical, non-lethal things, and directing people to it, because you can hold it, hold L1 to do like turn this on. And then have it make a noise to cause people to come to it. And they get shocked, and then people go nuts, and it's fun in that way. It's been pretty fun so far, and I'm looking forward to playing more of that.
I can tell you what that driver SF thing is, by the way.
What is that?
It's Uber.
Oh.
So.
I didn't have anywhere to go. I don't know what that was. Like, oh, there's a thing over here.
Yeah, so it's basically you can just call somebody and they'll drive you where you want to go.
I don't know where I was supposed to go.
That
wasn't very well explained.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So also I bought Horizon, the digital version, so now I don't have to put that disc in anymore.
Yeah.
And played some of that, and that's still a hell of a lot of fun to play. I got to another settlement and got some more quests to do. So I'm looking forward to playing more of that. And hopefully beating it before the DLC comes out.
Yeah.
I also had some more YouTube stuff go up this past week. I looked at Let It Die for my freeloading segment, which was pretty good. And then they announced a new expansion for that during E3. The Fresh Play game that I pulled out of my backlog was Divinity Original Sin, which was really cool.
Yeah.
I definitely want to play more of that. On this week, I celebrated Metal Gear Solid 4's 9th anniversary. So that game is nearing its 10th anniversary, which you think crazy. Maybe they'll remaster that at some point.
This is Konami. This is what we're talking about here. We'll just let that one go.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they're struggling to get Survive out there.
Yeah.
At this point, but I remember when that game was coming out, and there was like, oh yeah, we got sources that say it's coming to Xbox 360, and they got those troll images of the CD box set version of the game, saying it's going to be on 12 discs or whatever. trying to actually get that. I realized I didn't have it downloaded on my PS3, and the process of trying to get that started was a bit more cumbersome than I wanted, so I just put the disc in.
Yeah.
Then watched the install for 20 minutes. The bad thing about the servers going down on that is there's a really cool podcast series that is essentially commentary, but that you can't access anymore since they took on down all that online DLC stuff.
Yeah.
Since that was all handled in-game. Not in the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of disappointment. That's the other thing is I purchased Quantum Break for $5 off of GameFly.
Okay.
And so like every 6 months they give people that subscribe every 3 months a $5 coupon, and every 6 months two of them overlap for like a day or two. So I go and find something to buy for $10 off. And that was like 14 something. And so I basically paid about $4.68, I think, out of pocket. So like I'll give that game a shot for $5.
$5, okay.
I just got to find the space on the hard drive now.
Yeah.
Because that's supposed to be a really big game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it.
Cool. So, as we know, this week was E3. We were inundated with it. Unfortunately, timing didn't really work out for Brandon to join us on any of the shows. So, here's your chance now, Brandon. Your thoughts. What did you think this year?
You want the short version? Because the short version is Dino Mario!
Well, you can't really beat that, but yeah, a little bit more in-depth might
I gotta tell you, the instant I saw that come up on the feed, I'm like, I'm gonna be seeing this everywhere on the internet for the next few weeks, aren't I?
Yeah, and sure enough.
I think Nintendo put up a poll for the most popular Mario character, and the dinosaur won it. There's never been in any other game except for this trailer.
Okay, so long version. As far as I'm concerned, Nintendo won E3 this year.
Yes.
And that's a good thing because of all the majors, they had the most to lose this year. They had a brand new console that had just started. They needed to prove to gamers that, you know, that this wasn't going to be just another Wii U mishap, that, you know, this console was going to have staying power, and it was going to have some quality titles to go along with it.
They did that.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, okay, so, like, we already knew that it's already sold a ton of units, pretty much on the virtue of Breath of the Wild by itself. But it shows that they're definitely not resting just on, you know, Zelda hype. They have got, you know, I mean, just recently they just debuted a new IP.
Yeah.
To the market, you know, ARMS, and it's done really well. You know, and that, I mean, let's be honest, there hasn't, you know, that's only like the last big new IP that Nintendo realized was Splatoon.
Yeah, but, and that wasn't that long ago either, so.
Yeah, and that, again, was a big success. But, so really, the second place is really Microsoft. And I'll just go ahead and sort of start with what I think about Microsoft. Microsoft, for one thing, they kind of had, I guess just, they had this, they basically were able to sort of get the moral superiority off of Sony after the infamous, you know, why do people want to play old games gaffe? And of course, you know, Xbox One has rolled out their backwards compatibility digital program, and it's done pretty well so far.
Yeah.
Really something that, you know, Sony could do implement also very easily if they wanted to, but they don't.
Yeah, I'm sure Microsoft could help them. They know how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
But nope.
And, of course, Microsoft, we got to see, for one thing, we got to finally see the new BioWare IP, which was Anthem. And
oh, it looks good.
Oh, it looks so good. I mean, if what we saw was not a bullshot, and, you know,
all reports say it was not.
Okay. They, I mean,
it
they
was a bullshot if you only own a regular Xbox One.
Yeah. But, you know, first of all, they managed to actually make themselves out to not be a Destiny clone. Because, I mean, yeah, everybody, when they first saw that teaser, they all thought it was going to be a Destiny clone. Turns out it's a little bit more diverse than that. You know, there's like a, it doesn't have like a class system like Destiny has. It's more around like
what different suits you're using.
Different armor suits, mobile armors you can use.
Yeah.
There's, you know, flying and swimming and big giant monsters to fight. And it just looks so damn good.
Yeah.
And the best part is it's sort of like the kind of the homecoming project for a lot of the old Mass Effect people.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people don't know is this was the project that Casey Hudson was working on before he went over to Microsoft, and a lot of the old Mass Effect team people made their way over to, this is the BioWare Edmonton studio, I think, and a lot of the old people from the Mass Effect people are making it over there, including the writer of Mass Effect 1 and 2, Drew Karpyshyn. Yes, he is in fact the main writer on this game.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it looked good. Sony basically shit the bed this year.
Yep.
I mean, there's really no other way to do it. I mean, there was maybe a couple of highlights, like the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer looked really awesome. And that's about all I can think of at the moment.
And the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer wasn't even in their press conference, so.
Nope. It kind of looked, it, I'm going to be honest, it kind of reminded me of that one year when Sony basically did their E3 presentation by just reading off numbers.
Yeah, that was right before the PS3 launched.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Not good deja vu there. And then, of course, Nintendo. And, oh my God, Nintendo. They completely crushed it. You know, one thing, Nintendo finally realized that, oh yeah, Samus exists.
Yeah.
And so now, not only are they, you know, remaking Metroid 2, but they are also going to be producing Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah.
We'll be talking a little bit about that later on, but... Hmm. And, Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Hmm.
We finally got a really good look at Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and holy crap, does it look amazing.
Hmm. It reminds me of Grandia in some ways, and I love that.
I love that they've kept the British voice acting, which is kind of what made the first Xenoblade Chronicles, port had a lot of charm to it.
Yeah.
I've heard some complaints about the fact that they're using a more sort of, I guess, chibi or anime art style than they did with the original Xenoblade Chronicles. I honestly don't have any problem with that, because I'll be honest, as much as I love the original Xenoblade Chronicles, the way they did characters on that game was just a little bit too far into the uncanny valley for me.
Mm-hmm.
And here, they're intentionally using that art style so that they can emphasize the sheer grandeur of the world that you're exploring.
Yeah.
You know, just the humongous, gigantic monsters that you go up against. What else? Oh yeah, Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
The game that won E3, basically. So that whole trailer was basically just proof that, you know, the Nintendo, you know, Miyamoto has left the Mario franchise in good hands.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you know, the whole, obviously people bring up Dino Mario a lot, but there's just, that by itself is an example of why this game is so cool. It's the variety. Everything, every world you go to, every, you know, quote unquote universe or kingdom you go to looks decidedly different from the one before it. Everything from, you know, the big one, which is New Donk City, that's the one that most people know, where you can do everything from, you know, ride a Vespa to possess a taxi cab. And of course, the sudden reappearance of none other than Pauline.
Yeah. That was a little unexpected, but.
Yeah, that one kind of came out of nowhere. Because I don't think she's really been seen.
I think she was in the Mario versus Donkey Kong games.
Yeah, she was. She was sort of a minor.
Yeah.
But here she is straight up the mayor of New Donk City. Yeah. And she sings the theme song.
Yeah.
And I defy you to not have that song stuck in your head, because
oh, don't remind me.
And then,
it's a great effort to get it out of my head.
Yeah. And then there's the whole possession mechanic itself, you know. From what I've heard, I mean, I know Danrib was over there in E3, and he got a chance to play it. And I've heard from some other people, they've adjusted some of Mario's, like they've adjusted his jump a bit. And I've been told that that's due to the possession mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, pretty much anything that moves in this game, you can possess.
Yeah.
Enemies, vehicles, random-ass animals that show up. Even stuff that normally doesn't move, like rockets or, you know, parking meters. Just that thing where he took possession of a tank.
Mm.
So what if all this time Mario was just a hat and a mustache, and the guy we've known for like 35 years was just a puppet?
That's what I said.
That's the shit that Creepypasta is made of.
Have you guys seen the meme, the tabloid meme? Mm. It's come up where it shows Mario warping into the regular human's head.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the woman with the baby with a mustache on. It's like, God. Mario turned into my husband and got me pregnant, but now he's not paying child support.
Yeah. But probably, like, other than the possession mechanic, I think for a lot of people, what the biggest sort of takeaway were the two-dimensional parts.
Yeah.
The ones where...
You mean Fez?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm pretty sure... I don't know if you guys remember this. There was this short film that was on YouTube, that's been on YouTube for a while, about a person who basically, like, took a... had a camera and basically videoed a sidewalk and had the World 1-1 from Super Mario Brothers playing on the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually pretty sure that's where they got the idea.
Could be.
But yeah, so basically they take 2D Mario and they put it on, you know, these three-dimensional surfaces, making it look kind of like graffiti, and it's just really hip, man.
it's very stylish. It's nobody's going to dock that game any kind of style points because it's like oozes with it.
Yeah. So only thing I gotta ask is, console edition when?
Well,
because console edition. I mean, like the pack in when.
Probably you'll see a holiday bundle for this. Absolutely dumb to not do that.
Because that's basically what I'm going to be getting for Christmas this year. If that is what if they're going to have the holiday bundle.
Yeah,
probably. I would say that will happen roughly October 27th.
Yeah. Yep. So all in all, yeah, E3 had some great stuff in it. But also,
Sony.
Sony. That's the way I see E3 this year.
Okay. So, E3, lots of good stuff, and Sony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And in a weird way, everyone did exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. One more thing. We did finally get the English reveal of 13 Sentinel Aegis Rim.
Yep.
To be honest, it was basically the Japanese trailer, but translated into English, but I was perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
Still looks great.
Yeah, it's vanillaware. What you want.
Yeah. I guess, We know there's Sea of Thieves and Black Flag. Sea of Thieves is definitely going to be the superior. Because Black Flag is literally just a retread of...
You know what I mean? Skull and Bones? Yeah.
Skull and Bones, yeah. Of Assassin's Creed Black Flag, literally.
It's a game people have wanted them to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than that, that was pretty much it for me.
Cool. All right, so I kind of wish Dan Rib was here because he might have been able to comment on this first story, but apparently E3 security this year was like shit.
Oh, yeah.
I can understand why. You spend so many years having to really weed out the people who aren't supposed to be there and bounce them, and now it goes general admission. It almost feels like they probably went in feeling that they were taking the year off.
Yeah, well, there seemed to be, like, it seemed to happen on both directions. It's like some people were getting pulled aside, even though they did have credentials, and some people without credentials just walked right in. Oof. So,
You had people like Rami Ismail and others just try to see if they could get into the building without the badge and not get stopped anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He said he tried it every day and succeeded every time.
Wow.
Carrying a backpack was never checked. And said it would probably be really easy for anybody with bad intentions to bring a weapon into the events, and security was not enough security that would be able to prevent anything from happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fucking scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they said two other men were also able to do the same thing.
Mm.
Let's see, after showing up to the LA Expo Center downtown, We found that going through the garage was the best point of entry. The guard asked us what we were doing, so we told him we were temp hires. We didn't have much information. We were late to get to the Galaxy Lounge in the West Hall. They let us through, and immediately we were shocked, but we kept our cool and walked into the convention with confidence.
God.
Which yeah. happens about a month after Phoenix Comic Con had a heavily armed man get inside pretty easily with two 45 caliber handguns, a 454 caliber handgun, and a 12-gauge shotgun, fully loaded.
Mm. Way to go,
knife,
guys.
Pepper spray and throwing stars.
Throwing stars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of course. Most, of course they would have freaking thing. Throwing stars.
Yeah. And like, you had a fucking 12-gauge shotgun. How could nobody notice that and say, hey, buddy, what's that?
It's rather large bulge in your pants there. Yeah. Hopefully they'll sort this out. Just glad that it didn't go as badly as it could have. Cause,
yeah.
Oof. Yeah, that could have
gone. Yeah, the ESA's message after this was, well, nothing happened.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah, let's make sure nothing else happens.
Something did happen. A person came into a large, fully packed venue with a deadly weapon.
No, that was at Phoenix. Nobody did that in E3, at least.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah.
Hell, something did happen. The fact that the gun made its way into the building in and of itself.
Yeah, they need to address that for next year if they
get your shit together, ESA.
Yeah.
We want to keep having E3s.
Yep. Anyways. So, okay, Kodami, it's about that time of the year to talk about them again.
They were doing well.
No, yes, they were.
Yeah, they seemed like they actually intended to make games and not be dicks, but no, apparently people who have left Konami have been finding themselves blacklisted from being hired from other companies. Two other companies, I should say.
Wow.
I'm not sure if that's illegal in Japan, but I think that is kind
of illegal.
I believe
it's illegal as
fuck. Yeah.
Well, it is illegal, but keep in mind that, the Yakuza is still pretty heavily involved with most major businesses in Japan. And, so not exactly something I would consider impossible.
You know, guess it just means that the price of those employees has to go way up. So they'll have to be hired by
call. For them to end up somewhere even bigger, like a Square Enix or a Capcom, and see them try to push them around legally.
Yeah, the notion that they were telling their former employees you're not allowed to say that you were formerly at Konami is like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's the whole point of a resume, is to say where you've been, what work you've done.
Yeah.
But apparently they're also following it up with bad referrals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Telling them, don't hire this guy. They're bad news.
Yeah.
Which any sane company should be doing research on Konami as a whole.
Yep.
These guys are fucked.
They're saying that about everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you hired tons of terrible people then. What sort of company are you?
Exactly. Yeah. My suggestion would be they should give Kojima a call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd be more than happy to hire them.
Yep. Although apparently the Kojima-Konami fiasco isn't over yet. So
nope.
That's shocking.
So apparently after the Konami revealed Metal Gear Survive, Kojima was asked about it. And he said, I know absolutely nothing about it. That's because it's totally unrelated to me, right? How should I put this? Well, for me, Metal Gear is espionage with political fiction, right? So because of that, there's no reason that zombies would show up. And Konami was not happy about that. Because they apparently, they sent a letter to Kojima last fall. As Nikkei reports, it stated, you are unfairly sullying the reputation of our company.
No, you're doing a great job of that on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Nikkei also added that the way the TGS crowd laughed probably rubbed Konami the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was disagreement over the compensation agreement between Kojima and Konami. Supposedly Konami was refusing to pay part of it, but they apparently say they are, so Kojima Productions was saying, giving a no comment on that. But it doesn't end there. With the new Kojima Productions, they were trying to join the Kanto IT Software Health Insurance Association.
Mm-hmm.
That gives their applicants, there's 7,000 companies part of this association offering discounted health insurance, tech industry workers, as well as hotel, restaurant, and gym discounts. And they got refused. One of the big players in that association, Konami, with its sports clubs participating in the program.
So that's a bit of a dick move.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Kanto IT Software Health Insurance Association had to say, we are unable to comment on this issue.
For fear that they might incriminate themselves.
And the Nikkei article also states that Konami has allegedly told large game companies, yeah, that's what we just said. Yeah, they tried to contact Kojima Productions, but not get anything back. But yeah, that's fucked if they're trying to fuck over Kojima Productions from just getting insurance.
Yep. Yeah. Just goes to show how desperate Konami is. Really just a bunch of jerky jerks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, just fucking move on.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean...
what do you think you are? What do you think you are, the President of the United States?
Hmm. Ba-dum-bum.
Topical.
But, yeah. So, we will continue to follow this story as it develops. More than likely, Konami will end up bankrupt at some point. So, yeah. Look forward to that in 6 months.
The IP fire sale.
Yeah. So I love that. Although, because of all the, you know, sports clubs and stuff that they have, that's a good source of revenue for them. The game industry wasn't really a huge part of their business. So
it all fall to their own.
Yeah. So there. Anyways. We've been following this for a couple of weeks now. You know, the unfolding saga of IO Interactive being spun out from Square Enix. Well, that's come to a head now. IO Interactive is going independent, and they're taking Hitman with them. So,
so that ended. Find a buyer.
Yeah.
Well, the managers of IO Interactive were the buyers.
Yeah.
They bought themselves out.
They bought themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is about the best possible solution for all this. So yeah, now they are independent. Square Enix was good enough to agree to a management buyout, and they keep the Hitman IP. I'm guessing they're going to lose Kane and Lynch and the Ninja IP. I forget what it's called. Mini Ninjas.
Oh.
But Hitman's going to be big for them since obviously it's still a live game.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep working on Season 2, and they're a bit leaner than they were before, so hopefully it won't necessarily put them in a too much of a financial situation.
Yeah.
See, Konami management needs to be more like Yosuke Matsuda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, see, if this has had happened... if this was a Konami studio that was doing this, they just probably would have hired Hitman.
Yeah.
To take out the Hitman developers. So there.
Yeah, I like the way he signs out of this this message on their site. It says, Hakan, IO Independent. Instead of IO Interactive.
Yeah. So. This is one of those cases of all's well that ends well, which is kind of rare in the games industry these days.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's nice to see everyone every once in a while. We got acquisition news. Level 5 is a purchased Concept. And they've rebranded themselves as Level 5 Concept for some reason.
I love everything about this.
Yeah, this is probably the best outcome that could have happened for that company. I mean, because, let's be honest, Concept's been kind of
struggling.
Oh, yeah. In trouble. And... you know, Level 5, who actually is a really good developer.
They can do no wrong.
Yeah. acquiring Comcept and, you know, the IPs that go with it. Probably the best thing that could possibly happen to them.
Yeah, well, they retain jobs, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Let's see, they're still finishing up the things they were working on as Comcept, which I believe they are still committed to the 3DS and Vita versions of Mighty No. 9 that are still waiting to come out.
And this should make that easier.
Yeah, there's still rumors of a ReCore definitive edition that's supposed to have like the rest of the content that wasn't in there.
Okay.
Because there's a fourth robot that you can put the core into for your sidekick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you could find parts for it, but the robot didn't exist in the game.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
So, like, they just cut out, like, that last part of
so you can't finish it. Nice.
Yeah. And, but they have their first project as Level 5 Comcept. Starting up, which is a mobile RTS called Dragon Colonies, which is coming out next year in Japan. So they're already being put on phone games.
Joy.
Okay. Just once again, a reminder, Inafune was just one of the illustrators, not the creator of Mega Man.
Yeah. It's also It's also fair to point out that the mobile gaming market in Japan is a lot bigger than it is here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's still a ton of Japan-exclusive games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Square Enix Japan announced I think it's called Pictologia Final Fantasy. It's a Picross Final Fantasy game. Like as an RPG Picross.
Okay.
So basically what you're saying is it was nice to know you.
Well, it doesn't exist in the West. I'd have to buy a specific 3DS for that, and I'm not doing it.
Not doing that.
It was also released on iOS and Android, but only in Japan.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's like you've done everything you can to make sure nobody on this side of the Pacific gets it.
Yeah. Well, if it's on Android, you can always download the APK.
Yeah, not going to go that far.
Yeah.
Anyways. Side loading is usually fairly easy.
Yeah, as long as you get it from a decent source. So, anyways. So, what do we got here? Okay, Metroid and Nintendo news. We got a very large block of Nintendo stuff going on here.
Yeah.
So, we had the Metroid Prime 4 logo reveal at E3, because that's about all we saw of it.
For a lot of people, that was all they needed.
Yeah. Just knowing that it exists and is being made is good news. Because, and it's not 3DS, that's Switch. But what we didn't really know at the time is who was developing it, whether Retro were behind this one, and no, they are not. They're not developing it, although the former head of Retro is on the team that is.
Well, the Metroid Prime series producer, Kensuke Tanabe, is the... still leading this, what they call a talented new development team in the press release for the fact sheet. And that's all we know.
That's it. That's all. So, Metroid Prime 4.
Maybe it's internal, maybe it's not. Who knows?
Yeah, it's probably
maybe internal. It's all the poor bastards who had to work on Federation Force.
Well, that would be redemption for them.
Yeah.
Well, and they probably want to spend some time working on a game that people actually want after that whole experience.
Yeah.
I've said it before on this show, but what would it be like to just put months of your life into a game that has been emphatically rejected by the gaming public as a whole already? It's a non-starter. You're going to sell maybe four figures if you're lucky. What would that be like? Like, the game is inevitably going to be looked at as an abject failure by your superiors.
Yeah.
But they refused to cancel it. They forced it through to the store shelves.
And, of course, it didn't sell. You would expect.
Though I doubt it's those developers, because that was Next Level Games.
Yeah.
They would have just named them.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. So... Yeah, so Prime 4 is happening. In other Metroid-related news, the creator of, well, former creator of AM2R is actually kind of stoked that Metroid Samus Returns is happening. And he's like, he seems to be pretty cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically. Tweet was, N1E3 for me, hashtag Samus Returns looks like the Metroid 2 I always wanted to play. Looks like the another part of hashtag AM2R still makes sense now.
Yeah, good to see some kind of closure there, and he's not holding any grudges, at least. So, besides, he's getting the game that he wanted to play in the first place. Yeah. So, now he doesn't have to make it himself.
How it happened, but.
Yeah, but I mean, he doesn't have to make it himself, so that's the other great part of it. Another modding news. Modder is bringing Cappy's powers to Super Mario 64. Expect Nintendo to send a C&D in the next 2 hours.
Yeah. And yet still expect it to basically spread on the internet like wildfire, despite their intentions.
Yeah. See, modders will do things despite the fact that IP holders own IP.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that will happen. This actually looks pretty cool, and it's kind of remarkable that they managed to hack that in there. it's cool stuff. Not really a whole heck of a lot to say about that one, so, oh well. Capcom not bringing Monster Hunter Double Cross to North America.
We skipped a few.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a little bit of E3 spillover, it looks like.
Actually, I think my eyes glossed over this because I couldn't just fathom the title of what I was reading.
Yeah.
Nintendo has announced a couple of 3DS games, Mario and Luigi, Superstar Saga,
we kind of figured was going to come, eventually, because damn, those games sell like crazy.
that was not really surprising. Sushi Striker, Way of Sushido. My eyes just. Glazed over there.
Yeah, that game is from the people that made NES Remix. Yeah. And I think Theat Rhythm, Final Fantasy.
Hmm.
Indies Zero.
Hmm.
A little bit hard to say. but yeah, it looks like a pretty cool game.
Hmm.
Very much full of Japanese craziness to it. Essentially, there's these like conveyor belts of sushi dishes, and you're trying to line up combos of like dishes to have your, I guess, sushi ninja eat. And you're facing off against another guy who has his own three lines on the top screen. Mm-hmm. And you can throw your empty plates at the other guy. And so it's like a weird battle between the two of them.
Mm. Yeah, this is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's out next year.
Yeah. 3DS still getting some good support, so it's nice to see that they're not really leaving that system in the dark yet. That probably will happen sooner or later, but it looks like this year isn't the time for it.
Yeah, so. I don't see it happening at least until there's a successor announced.
Mm. Yeah, a Switch Mini, maybe. That's probably where that's going to end up going, I would suspect. But, yeah. On to the one that I was about to talk about. Capcom's not bringing Monster Hunter Double Cross to North America.
At least not now.
Yeah, they don't seem to have any plans to do that yet.
I guess they're not fond of money.
Yeah, which is a shame.
I wonder if they're trying to get Monster Hunter World out there first.
I would suspect.
Yeah.
There's a rather big installed base of PS4s there, so...
Yeah, they can exploit the PS4, Xbox One, and PC crowd for, like, yeah, we got this other game for you Switch people. Oh, I'm gonna go buy that too. Ah.
Yeah. All of the Monster Hunters.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have.
Well, that's not a great order to do it in, because Double X is not gonna look as good as World.
Yeah. But they're different platforms, yeah. So I guess, you know, measure your expectations accordingly, I suppose. Yeah. So, okay. Next up, we have the Xbox One is getting a new avatars that nobody will care about. I think we talked about this, that it might be happening at some point in the past. But yeah, now we've seen the announcement. We've seen the trailer. It's basically allowing you to customize your avatars in ways that you couldn't before. So yeah, also a very different look for the avatars as a whole. Kind of like it. I'm never going to use it. So I think that's pretty much how that's going to go.
Yeah.
They're not surfaced very well on the system itself, and there's no use for them.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need games to put them in or something.
Yeah, you got to do something with them. I mean, I'm using a custom picture now for my Xbox Live, so I don't have any reason to have an avatar. So, bleh to that.
Yeah.
But hey, I guess some people still got some use out of it, so I don't know. There must have been enough of them that Microsoft saw a reason to, keep them around. But
yeah, they ported the whole system to Unity, I think.
Yep.
And that's what this is all running on, though.
Yeah.
Still, why?
We don't know. It's a thing. I guess it will continue to be a thing as long as there is Xbox 360 backwards compatibility, because there's still, there's still a few Xbox 360 games that do have avatars.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Doritos game.
Yeah, those are using old avatars.
Yeah.
Old avatars.
Really old avatars.
The second time.
Yeah.
To make them a little taller.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And all your clothing is not compatible from before.
No.
Mm.
Yeah. So. Another Microsoft news. We got the system specs for Forza 7. Among that is the amount of hard drive space you're going to need to install it. Yeah. You better free up 100 gigs, because it is a big game.
Translation, you're probably going to have to get an Xbox One X.
Nor at least an external hard drive, because this thing is about, well, Forza 6 was about 48 gigs. So Forza 7 is double.
More than double, actually.
More than double. I mean, we don't have the precise figure.
What's the car count again?
700. Yeah, it's. I suspect that Forza 7 is using really, really high quality textures for. And it would have to. I mean, if it's going to be running in 4K on the Xbox One X and PC. So, yeah, lots of space. And I will buy it anyway because, one, I have the space. Two, it's Forza. Three, it's Forza, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, games are getting bigger, folks. I hope you have a lot of external storage, because you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The crazy thing is, you're only going to be able to install about half of that to the hard drive.
Yeah.
Because Blu-rays can't go much higher than that.
Yeah. That's why you just end up downloading it.
Yeah. It's like, well, you can install half of it, and then we'll see you tomorrow for the other half.
Yeah. Yeah, usually the thing that Xbox One games tend to do is as soon as you start the installation from the disc, it also starts downloading.
Which causes it to go even slower.
Yeah, so expect to wait a while.
They need to come up with a way to say that you're buying something and pre-install the update.
Because
That would help save a lot of time.
Or you can just do what I do, which is just, load it up, put it in the machine, and load it up before you go to bed.
And you can play it the next day. Yeah, I end up doing that a lot. Although
it's like, oh, man, I cannot wait to play you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, the digital stuff isn't so bad, because if you buy it from the store, it will preload beforehand. So there's that.
Yeah, though there needs to be something like that for disc games.
Yeah. I don't know how they managed to do that, but Yeah, that would be a thing.
I mean, if you want to fucking waste 50 gigs of your data for nothing, I mean, you could do that. Yeah. That's sort of the alternate option there.
Yeah. It's like half the game is on there. Hmm. Yeah, it's strange because you couldn't actually play the game from the disc anyway because it wouldn't all be there.
Yeah, there's nothing really to exploit unless somehow somebody figures a way to hack the system.
Yeah. Yeah. Which hasn't happened yet.
So. Yeah. So at least for the time being, there's not really much reason not to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Microsoft just wants to push their cross-buy, which I guess I'm okay with. I mean, I like getting two games for the price of one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So in asshole news, Take-Two sent C&D to Open4 and basically caused them to close down.
So yep.
No more GTA 5 mods for you.
Nope.
Yeah, this was a single-player mod.
Yeah.
Earlys was using a tool that is to allow them to do single-player mods. I guess Take-Two is worried about that external tool being used for online mods to just shut down all of it.
Mm.
And so
that's what they claim. They said they're doing this because they want to deal with cheaters, but...
Yeah, but that's one of the tools they're using can potentially be used for that, but this specific Open4 tool set is not using it that way.
No. Mm-hmm.
So there's no real reason to shut down these guys.
Yeah. I mean, Open4 was going out of their way to not do that.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say I was reading that it essentially shuts off if you try to go on GTA Online.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, Rockstar has been completely cool, has been very cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they had no problem. They openly support the modding community. And, but of course, unfortunately, Take-Two owns Rockstar. So.
Yeah, so that's a thing. You know what else Take-Two owns recently?
What?
Kerbal Space Program, a game that's kind of dependent on mods at this point.
Yep.
Yeah, let's see how well that goes for them. This is...
Though that's not bringing in GTA 5 money.
Yeah.
That game $75 million down. Mm. People talk about boycotting. It's like, if you wanted to boycott, you should have done it a long time ago.
Yeah.
They made billions.
It made their money back. Yeah.
It's basically been a PR disaster for them, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go, you know, well, not right now because we're recording, but if you're on, just go on Steam and check the,
yeah.
Reviews for GTA 5.
Yeah, they've, people are not very thrilled. Yeah, so, yeah. And, finally, guys, I have to ask you guys, what year is it?
Oh, God.
I need to know, because
I'm starting to think maybe 1995.
We can't even attribute this to it still being the 90s.
This is, well, maybe 1987, maybe, or 2017. I can't really tell. Because apparently Atari is making a new console.
Well, you got another news here. It's related to GTA 5.
Well, kind of related, but yeah.
Yeah, they shut down an online modding tool set called, what was it, Force Hax, and it's HAX.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck them for the name to begin with. But they were charging people to use this. $15 a month.
Okay, see them, that I could be get behind.
Yeah, they have thousands of subscribers, and Take-Two went after them. Mm. So that one's actually on the right.
Yeah.
And they told them they needed to donate all of their proceeds to charity. We don't know what charity, but... at least that's one part of the community that can be real happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know.
Not in terms of sacrificing the rest of it. But I guess somebody has managed to hack GTA Online. It has a big blimp that flies around the game. It says, fuck Take-Two on Interactive.
And they didn't need a paid tool set to do it.
Nope.
So, yeah. Okay. As I was saying a little bit earlier, Atari's making a console.
Yep.
It's apparently 1987, not 2017, because this is a thing that's happening. If you go to their website, ataribox.com, there is not much there. Basically an email sign-up form for a newsletter and a looping video of wood grain and a glowing Atari logo, which as long as you have wood grain, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're all going to get, you know, Jaguar deja vu. And,
yeah.
Which, as far as I know, that was the last console they actually released, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It was. Yeah. Well, technically the Jaguar CD, but that was an add-on, so...
There was the Panther Project, but it didn't go anywhere.
No. Yeah. Mm. And so, first things first, this is going to be just not even a Herculean task, but like a straight, like, Sisyphean
task. Oh, yeah. Atari, yeah, because they want to compete with the Xboxes and the PlayStations of the world here.
Yeah.
So, allegedly, they're going to be using PC-based hardware. Not sure how they're going to do that. Are they going to team up with Valve and maybe make like a Steam box? I really don't know.
Be ready to prop everything up with your first party because that's what's going to have to happen.
Yep.
Atari, first party? They don't really have anything anymore. That's the problem.
Yeah, they've sold everything off.
And that's what's got me. I mean, just... They are literally going to have to start from the ground up. Literally, yeah. Just because there is nothing there.
Yeah. Basically, there's nothing there. But they have wood grain, so that's a plus.
I mean, if all you got is wood grain and nostalgia,
that's not going to cut it.
No.
Yeah, and we still don't even really know what Atari is right now. That's a name and an IP that's been bounced around several times over the last 20 years.
Yeah. Well, the Atari name, I think, is actually still owned by the same parent company that also owns Accolade. Yeah, we saw what...
Well, they've been slowly assembling their own collection, as it were.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish we had more info. I mean, I put my email in there and signed up because I want to know as soon as they have any information, I want to know what the hell this thing is.
I hope for their sake they have a strong first party because that's what they're going to be living and dying by.
Yeah.
Unless they're not going to be stealing third-party exclusives from the likes of Sony and Microsoft or even Nintendo.
Nope.
So... they're going to be building around what they could make by themselves.
Yeah. Unless the one thing I could see that they could do is if they really double down on this PC-based hardware and make it really powerful, like, you know, Xbox One X or beyond, basically do something like an interface that would bring all of the PC versions of stuff together. Like, you know, you have Epic has their own downloader, Blizzard has their own downloader, Steam. If they could bring all of that stuff into one base, one package, one interface, they might have something there.
Yeah.
Not sure. And of course, it would play 2600 games because, I mean, a toaster could play 2600 games at this point. So. Yeah, virtual console. You could have everything from the old Pong arcades to Jaguar if you really wanted to. You could do all that through emulation. There's possibilities for them there. Just don't know how they're going to implement it. Other thoughts?
I've pretty much said my piece on it. I'm certainly intrigued. I hope it's for real. I think it would be really interesting to see the hardware market include
diversify
Nintendo
a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, include Atari at this stage. That would be.
Yeah. Now let's you know look forward a couple of years. Let's say this comes out and turns out to be successful. If you're Sega, are you sitting there looking? maybe it's time for a Dreamcast 2.
No, not now. Because if that's the way it actually goes, then Atari just ate their lunch.
Yeah.
You know, the big debate has been is, well, first of all, the debate was, is the market even large enough to support three consoles? Obviously, we know that's the case now.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to have the conversation of, is it big enough to support four? I think five is still a pipe dream.
Mm.
So if Sega was going to get back into hardware, they either have to do it faster than Atari right now, or they have to wait for Atari to fail.
Hmm.
And then assess the landscape from there.
Yeah.
But I really don't see any upside to them doing that.
No. It's all really fascinating, and it's one of the few pieces of news from E3 that just made you go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, we also have to figure out what kind of company owns the Atari name right now before we can adequately assess, you know, the prospects of this console.
Yeah. It's like we don't know if they're another Liu Millennium that bought SNK's IP and then wants to turn that company great again, or whether it's just an IP holding company that just wants to cash in. We don't really know at this point. Our first clue is going to be Bubsy when that comes out.
Oh, yeah. That's not technically related. Mm. That company that owns Bubsy Accolade, or no, it's Billion Soft. I was looking it up. They just own certain Atari IPs.
Mm.
That's a bunch of nothing games that most people haven't heard of.
So they're not the same people who own
Tycoon
Atari?
Tycoon City, I think, is an Atari property they own.
Yeah.
But that's like as far as their Atari lineage is. They own stuff like NOM from like mid-2000s. Sid Meier's Colonization is theirs.
Mm. So they own a lot of the old Infogrames properties when Infogrames used to own Atari.
Yeah, Infogrames. I forget what else there is.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's they're just an IP holding company that has weird stuff. It's on Steam.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Let's see, 1942 Pacific Air War, Bubsy, Challenge of the Five Realms. Combat Cars, Deadlock, Dragon Sphere, Hardball.
That's
a somewhat classic
baseball series. Accolade, yeah.
Motor Mayhem, Slave Zero, Shadow Ops, Redline, Sword of the Samurai, Task Force 1942. Yeah, Tycoon City is a 2006 city building game by Atari.
Yeah, this just gets weirder and weirder as the days go by.
Yeah, I think the brands they own is Accolade, Humongous Entertainment, and GT Interactive Software.
Hmm.
Which were the driver guys.
Yeah.
That's not what I know them as. No, this could be very interesting.
Yeah, GT Interactive, they also published a bunch of id's old titles, but... Yeah, the publishing deal was specific, very specific, when id made that, and that they retained all their IPs, so yeah, they don't have that.
Yeah, they just own the names.
Yeah.
Which is why Accolade is returning.
Yeah. So
let's see, the Wikipedia page, Atari SA. It's a French holding company, originally called Infogrames Entertainment SA. Subsidiaries include Atari London Studio, Atari Interactive, and Atari Inc.
Hmm.
See, the prospect of an Infogrames console isn't as exciting.
No. Yeah, see, if they had pitched it that way, I think the news would be very different. Hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Atari subsidiaries. Atari Benelux, Atari Brazil, Atari Corp, Atari Deutschland, Atari France, Atari Hellas, Atari Iberica Distribution. Atari Italia, which is almost, that's almost kind of a palindrome.
But
yes, Atari Korea, Atari Japan, Atari Nordic, Atari UK.
There's a lot of Ataris.
Yeah.
When you got that many of them, they just kind of start losing their meaning.
Yeah. Just own
that's a problem.
Single track. Humongous Entertainment. So that's one of the things that BillionSoft bought off of them.
So they divested. Okay, yeah, so it is kind of related, but not really.
Tangentially.
Yeah.
Just, hey, we bought this name off of you.
Yeah.
Because it costs $20 probably. And this is like a whole line of just bankruptcies and restructurings.
We don't know. We don't know what the hell's going on anymore.
We just know the CEO, Fred Chesney. That's about it.
Yep. He said, he wants to do this thing, so we're going to do this thing.
Who the fuck are you, Fred?
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, I think we can call it a week for the Day Zero update. Normal service has been resumed this week. Don't forget, on Friday we will have Let's Weekend.
Yes.
Actually, this time, yes.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, there's no E3, so normal service will be resumed. So, with that, I am Filippo Dinolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Barkin.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And we'll see you all next week.